No. I must tell you, there's a good word in it. Things that I had never seen before. And some of you have heard me teach on the chapter 13, the mark of the beast, but it's still a truth in it, but it's just been expounded greatly, and it's just a witness of what we already see in the earth today, and you'll see what I'm saying next week. Okay, so stay tuned, right? Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars and did cast them to the earth, stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she was nourished for a time and a times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's some good word here. And let us, by the Spirit, hear what God's saying to us this morning. Back to verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. The word great wonder is literally a sign or a supernatural sign in heaven. Or where? In the spirit realm. Okay? Something great happens in the spirit. This is not up in the sky somewhere. This is in the spirit realm. Okay? And a woman clothed with the sun. Now, we know the woman represents who in Scripture? Church. So we know this has to be a spiritual thing, because we know the church is not where she's supposed to be. The church is not producing what she's supposed to produce, is she? The woman is, this woman is in the supernatural realm, this supernatural thing. She was clothed with the sun. The sun is who? The Christ. And the moon was under her feet, right? Is that right? Now, what is this moon? Okay. Literally, it shows 2 women here. Okay? It shows 2 women. This supernatural woman was clothed with the sun, right? That is the true woman. Let me call it this way. How about the Ruth church? How about the overcoming church? Okay? This is the church that has the Spirit of God. How about that? Would that work with you? Huh? This is the church that has the Spirit of God. It's a supernatural. It took place in heaven, in the spirit realm. So we know this is the spiritual church, don't we? Sure. Well, I don't know. Sarai, after she's changed. After her change. Right? But this woman is a spiritual church, and she's clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. Now, what is the moon? The moon can represent the soul. It can represent the church. But we're talking about church here. It'd be the religious realm of the church, okay? And this church is a woman, this moon, and if you go back into Genesis chapter 37, I think it is, where Joseph had his dream, and he went to his father and said, you know, the sun and the moon and the 12 stars will bow to me, and he said, shall I and your mother and your brothers bow to you? So he told you what the sun was. It was the Father, that's God, right? Or the Son, Jesus, same thing. God and Jesus are the same, aren't they? Okay. And then the woman is the moon, right? That's the mother. So we're seeing a church right here, this moon. We see this as the Babylonian church, the man's church, the religious system. Okay? So this spiritual woman is standing upon what? No, she came up under the moon. See, she's overcome this religious system that man has placed in the earth out here. Okay, you see what I'm saying? This is that woman that stood up and said, hey, I am an overcoming church. I'm not going to be part of man's system. I'm God's church. We're not doing away with church. We're saying we're doing away with man's Babylonian system. See, that system of confusion. We're doing away with that, right? And upon her head was a what? A crown of 12 stars. We can go into the government of God. We can do a lot of things in those 12 stars, can't we? The 12 apostles, the 12 sons that started out of Jacob, which was the progenitors of the nation of Israel. We go to the 12 stones in the breastplate, but I don't want to get into all that, okay? What I want to say is this. Upon her head was a crown, okay? Literally, what is in your head? We're not talking upon, but in my head. What do I have? Okay, but I'm going to tell you what's on the mind of this woman. You tell me what a woman's got on her mind when she's in love with her man. What's on her mind? Her man. So who is this? This is the overcoming church, the Ruth church that has a relationship with Boaz, the Christ. So what's on her mind? Her man, the Christ. Sure. So this is that woman that has the mind of Christ. This is the church that literally has the mind of Christ. And it's in the earth today. It's not something that might happen in the future. It's right now. And she being with child, that tells me she's intimate with her man. She's got a seed in her that's growing to produce a son. Isn't that what it says?
Could that child be the pain that you feel?
Absolutely. Sure. See, whenever a child is being born, there's a lot of struggle, isn't there? And who is struggling, the mother or the child?
Both of them.
So when God deals with you to come out of the Babylonian system, there's a struggle. It's not easy. Sure. But see, when we come out of that system, how many people have left the church and loved the people they left? See? We love the people we left. It was the system. It was the leadership and the system, the control and manipulation of the mind of humanity that was forcing us from that group of people. The people are not bad, are they? It's just about the system that they got of manipulation and control. So it's a struggle to come out of there. I've left those churches and I loved all the people in all those churches. They don't understand us. That's okay. But we came out of there and it was a struggle for me to leave those groups of people. And they struggled when we left. They didn't understand why we left. They still think that everything that has a sign up says church means it's a godly organization. They think that. Well, I'm sorry, it's not. We know that. So we have to realize that struggle is for both people when we come out, right? The child is struggling for his life and the woman's struggling for her life. You go a long way in that, and I'm not going to go there this morning. That's not where I'm trying to get to. Verse 3, and there appeared another woman, another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, another wonder appeared in the spirit realm. See, all this is taking place in the spirit. If we go back to the first chapter of Revelation, it said John saw all this. He was in the spirit on the Lord's day. See, it's all spiritual stuff. It's symbolism. It's not literal words. So he's saying there was another great supernatural sign in the spirit, a great red dragon. Now, he tells you here that this great red dragon, if you go on down, it talks about it again in verse 7, and it says, or verse 8, 9, and says, the old serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan. See, all these names, who are we talking about? Same one. It's the thought process of humanity. It's not the mind of Christ. So he says that the other great wonder appearing in heaven, there was a great red dragon having 7 heads. 7 speaks of what? It's a perfection, completeness. Okay? So he had 7 heads. Don't look at something with 7 heads. Symbolism, right? It's something with complete authority. The head speaks of authority and rulership. He has complete authority and rulership. And did not Adam have complete rulership and authority in the earth when God placed him? That's who he's talking about. There was 2 things in here. It's no different from the tree of knowledge and good and evil and the tree of life. Same thing. Come on. He had 7 heads and 10 horns. What's the 10 speak of?
Law.
The law of what? 10 speaks of law and death. Okay? Incarceration, imprisonment, captive. They're in captivity. And this mind of this dragon that is in humanity in the spirit realm, guess what? He puts everybody in prison, doesn't he? How many of us have been locked up in the bondages of false believing? Every one of us. Okay? And 7 crowns upon his heads. Okay? So it's just a complete authority and rulership in his realm. And Adam was given it, was he not? Adam was given control of everything. God let him name all the animals of the earth, didn't he? He gave him complete rulership of everything, but there was a problem, wasn't there? The duality of it. Now, look what it says. And his tail, we're talking about this dragon, aren't we? This red dragon, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, right? Now, does anybody know what the tail is? Some of you should know. The tail is the false prophet out of Isaiah 9:15. The prophet that teaches and tells lies, he is the what? The tail. See? So we know that this dragon, this is the thought process of man, speaks through humanity, doesn't he? So these false prophets are speaking out of the dragon, and they are his tail. Okay? The head controls the tail, doesn't it? So it speaks right through these tails. And they drew a third part of the stars. If you go into Abraham's covenants, dust, sand, what? Stars. What did the stars represent? The seed of Abraham, the overcomers, right? Well, the stars, we're looking at the covenants, dust, sand, stars. Stars represent the seed of Abraham. So does the dust and so does the sand. But the seed of Abraham is always referred to as the stars, okay? The overcoming sons. So, he says he drew a third part of the stars, or the overcoming sons, and did cast them of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Heaven is the life realm. Earth is the death realm. Everything that lives in earth does what? Everything that walks into the spirit does what? And never dies again. Right? That's all we're talking about. So these false prophets, these tales that run around in this religious Babylonian system, all they do is bring death to you by what they speak. Right now, all they're trying to tell you to do is to fly away. Look for some way of escape. And God is saying, except you overcome, you should not inherit all these things. How am I going to overcome if I'm running? You beat anybody running in anything? You're left behind. You're leaving it behind. You're running from it. I have to face all the things that God places in my life to deal with them so that I can overcome them. If every time fear come into my face or into my mind, I would take off and run, do you think I'd ever overcome fear?
No.
You've got to face it. And that's what God's trying to tell us in all this. You stand up and you face what God has placed as an obstacle in your life. Whether it be a person, a thought process, or anything you see. There's people that have phobias of a lot of things. So if you come to that place, guess what? Put it out of your mind. See, you overcome that thing. If I overcome, it says in Revelation 21, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Well, do you want to inherit all things? Then what do you got to do? You got to come up over everything God gives you to overcome. Just come over it. Just get on up over it. And the way you get up over it, step into the Spirit. Because you're either in the earth realm looking at your problem, or you're in the heavenlies looking over your problem. Which way you want to be? Just take it. It's already there. It's there. You either look over it from the heavens, or you sit in the earth and wallow in it. Right? Okay. And he did cast them into the earth, and the dragon stood before. The word before literally means in the face of. What's in your face? Your mind. So where's the dragon at? He's identifying it for you. It's in your mind. So the thought process of all this fear and all this confusion and manipulation and control, where's it at? It's in the mind of the religious system. It's in our minds, our struggles, right? It's all in the mind. Which stood in the mind of the woman which was ready to be delivered. So even the woman, the overcoming church, still has to deal with that dragon in her mind. Right? Then we still got to deal with it. Just because we're overcoming sons of God does not mean we don't have to deal with the dragon, does it? But you know what we're going to do? Overcome the dragon. You know how I know? Because he said we win. I know we win. He said, through him I can do all things. Right? So overcoming a little obstacle in front of my face, I don't care if it does look like Mount Everest. It's just a little thing to my God. It's just a little thing, see? It don't make no difference. Does it? Does it make a difference the size of the obstacle?
No.
What obstacle is there to God?
No.
Again, if we go back and see, from the heavenlies, what does Mount Everest look like? Just a speck? Nothing, see? If we ascend into the heavenlies, we don't got to worry about it, do we?
Nope.
It's just a little thing. And everybody's got little things they got to deal with. Right? Come on. This is what God's telling us. You want a word of encouragement? This is a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
Which was ready to be delivered. She was ready to get this thing out of there. I'm going to tell you what. When you become pregnant, I'm talking spiritually here now. When you become pregnant, you ask any woman that's been pregnant in the natural, when it's time, honey, it's time. You want it out of there. And when it becomes time in the Spirit, when the Son of God is birthed from that woman that you are out of your soulish realm, I'm going to tell you what. You want that thing out of there. Not because of the pain and everything, but because of the miraculous things that's going to go on in your life when you change from being that woman into the Son. Because every one of us have been the woman. We've been the bride. But it's time for the Son to come. And when it's time, it's time. Nothing to do but deliver that Son. And that's us being delivered from our woman, our soulish realm. Come on. We don't need that soulish realm no more. Now we're sons, okay? And he tried to he was here for a reason. Look what he said, the last of verse 4. To devour, literally, right? I'm going to try to see what I'm doing here. Notice that the dragon really wasn't activated until the child was birthed. Notice this. This is important. The dragon was really not put into play until the Son came about. See? Because as long as we're already in the earthly realms, the dust and the sand, we got no problem. I mean, we're not creating any problem. But as soon as we came out of the woman to be birthed, here comes the dragon. When we come to the spirit realm, there's where the fire comes. When you come out of the religious system, that's when everybody will climb on your back. Come on. That's when this thing starts accusing you. But we got good hope for something coming on back in this chapter. We've got good hope. Okay? But he was there to devour their child as soon as it was born. So as soon as you come to manhood, you come to the sonship, immediately the accusations come. Who do you think you are? What makes you better than anybody else? Nothing. Just God's choice. He chose me to do this thing. Oh, you'll get all kinds of accusations. But what does that mean? Most people tell me this. Well, that just shows you're wrong. No. Shows me I'm on the right course when everybody starts accusing me. It shows me I'm in the right place. Was Jesus accused? What about all the prophets? Didn't everybody think they were crazy? Lost their mind? You know, nuts? Whatever? Guess what? When you're being accused and you're standing on this, you will be accused. I promise you that. You'll just be attacked from every angle. But that should encourage you. I've stood with encouragement every time I've been attacked. I realize I feel the pain, I feel the accusations, the hurts, but it encourages me because I know I'm on the right course. If I wasn't doing anything wrong, who would care what I did? If I was doing something wrong, who would care? If I was doing what the religious system wanted me to do, you think they'd care about me? I'm threatening to them. You're threatening to the religious system when you know who you are. You're a threat to them. You don't have to do much, you just have to be around. Just be around them. They'll get mad and say things. I've walked into rooms, people who didn't even know me, and they made accusations at me. I walked into a church in Detroit, and this man had never seen me before in his life. Lois was with me. Walked in, this man was teaching a Sunday school class. I walked in, they was having it in their big sanctuary, in their church, which was about four or five times as big as this room. And I walked in the back room, and when I walked in the door, he was talking about something, all of a sudden he just stopped. Like that. He said, there's some people that believe in the reconciliation of all men, and that's a damnable heresy from hell. And then went right back to his teaching. You tell me that spirit in that man didn't know that there was a reconciliation spirit in me? He never saw me before in his life. And just barked that out at me real loud just as soon as I come in the room. And didn't even know who I was. Tell me they don't know who you are. Did not the demons cry out when Jesus got close? Did you come to torment us before our time? Come on. If you know who you are and you operate in that spirit, that other spirit knows exactly who you are.
Exactly.
They know who you are. You're of the Christ. Have you come to torment us? You bet you I have. You bet you I have. I've come to torment them before their time. Verse 5. And she brought forth a what? Literally a male child, a man child, who what? Who was or was intended to rule all nations. Now this man child is this. This is what's amazing. He just got birth, didn't he? He just got birth. So what would you think that word would be? Let me just do it this way. Here, we got it on this picture of the tabernacle. Six things. Brephos is the unborn child. Nepios is a non-speaking child from birth up to 2 years old. On up through the progression, right? So Nepios would be a child just born up to 2 years old. Correct? That's what the language in the Greek says. But that's funny. Because this man-child that was born is this one. The weos. Where is it at? I can't see it upside down. There. Weos. Mature. Full-grown son. Hello. Why is that word used? Romans 8:29 says what? Those whom he foreknew, he did what? Predestined, conformed. This man-child was formed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It was the perfect God-man created from the very beginning. Before anything else was created, it was that first fruit that was created. This is who he's talking about. It's not about something that's going to happen. It's already been done. So she brought forth this complete, mature man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. I've seen people have pictures drawn with a big iron club beating people. Do you think that's what God's talking about? His love and mercy and grace, he's going to beat somebody with an iron rod? What he's talking about is it's uncompromising. They will rule by the mind of Christ. They won't let their own thoughts and emotions and wills get into there and pervert what God is doing. You have to have something that's inflexible. You can't take the mind of God and place it into humanity and let humanity infiltrate it and then call it the mind of God, can you? It has to be an unadulterated Word of God. It cannot be infiltrated by our emotions and who we think about. I love this person, I don't like that one so well, I hate that one. It can't be that. It has to be the Word of God straight down the line. No compromise. Do you see it? I did start the thing, didn't I? Just hit my mind. Did I start that thing? Whew, I'm somewhere else right now. And her child, her man child, her complete mature son, was caught up unto God, was caught up to God and through his throne. You know what that means? As soon as this son is birthed from the religious system, where do they go? To the throne of God, to the Spirit of God. See, these ain't somebody, once they come out of that woman, they're not going and laying in a nursery somewhere. They're going straight to the throne room, which is the rulership of God. His mature sons are rulers. Kings do what? They rule. They make decisions. You know, every decision you make may be hard to make. But sometimes you just have to make decisions. In your job, Alice, you ever have to make decisions? Life and death decisions. You could make a wrong one, couldn't you? Heaven help us if we do. But you still got to make what you know is right for the situation. See, that's kings. Kings make decisions. And sometimes the decision in our natural mind, we can miss something. But when we rule with the mind of Christ, we will not. That's when he said, judge not by sight. See, judge by the Spirit of God. And when I do, I can never make a mistake when I know I'm doing it by the Spirit of God. I can know I'm never wrong. You can walk in that same confidence. That's not arrogance, not being obnoxious. That's in confidence. Because with the mind of Christ, you don't make mistakes. That's just the way it is. Oh, and the woman fled into the wilderness, right? The woman went to the wilderness. Now I'm going to tell you, in your process of coming up, we're babies first, and then we become, you know, we're just little babies. And then we grow up, and we become the church. Because the church is us, the called out, okay? And in that realm, we are sent out, okay? And there's a place of desolation that you will walk in as the church, as the called ones, before you come to sonship. You will. You'll walk in desolation. You'll walk in rejection. All these bad, hard feelings. You'll get them. If anyone here says he ain't got them, you'll get them. Believe me. But she went to the desert, okay, where she had a place prepared of God. Now, who sent her to that desert? Okay. But it's for her benefit, is it not? Now, the sun came out. Now, he's going to deal with the woman later on. See, right now, the sun is who he's after. That's the relationship he's after right now, the sun. Once he's got the son, he'll deal with the woman. He sent her to a place to be prepared, didn't he? A place of preparedness. He sent her over there, and she'll walk through the same thing you walk through. The rest of them will come through. Where she had a place prepared of God that they... Now this word they, who's it talking about? No, they is the sons, okay? The sons that were just born in the fifth verse... Okay? In the sixth verse, it turned into a they. Well, notice this. As soon as It was a single individual relationship with you. And you have to walk out through your system. You have to, the man's system, you have to walk through this woman's system and be birthed into the kingdom as a son of God, right? Now, as soon as you came out of the woman, where did the son go? She went to the throne, spirit realm, right? So as soon as you come out of the woman as an individual, you immediately become a corporate they. Immediately when I come out of the woman's system, I'm locked to the Spirit of God as a son in the body of Christ. Do you understand that? As soon as I'm birthed from the system, there's only the system of man and the kingdom of God. So if I come out of the system of man, where am I going? Immediately I'm locked in as the Son of God. I'm part of that body of Christ. And see, the church is screaming, yelling, oh, we're the body of Christ. They ain't either. They ain't never done it. They ain't never been close to it yet. They're still in the hangar. They ain't been delivered yet. The church ain't there. The church is not what it's about right now. And that's not knocking the church down. God's got a place for them. But we are sons that have been birthed out of this kingdom, this religious system, into the kingdom of God. And immediately, I'm attached to those people. These people are not people who are just becoming sons. These are sons that were predestined before the foundation of the world. And that's why you can walk up to somebody you have never seen, and all of a sudden you're just smack, you're right up against them and they're part of you. Why? Because we're part of that same body, that same spirit of the living God, the sons. That's what it's about. You don't even understand it, but it's still, you know they're part of you. Whew, good God. Help me, Lord. That they should feed her, the sons should feed her 1,203 score days. That 1,203 score days is 3.5 years. It's a time of ministry. Through her time of ministry, who's going to take care of that woman? We are. They don't throw mama from the train. Don't beat her up. Even if she's wrong, she's still mama. He was in the spirit 3.5 years, yeah. He was a son, see. He was one born out of season. Yep, that's him. Oh, yes. So we got to know this. Even when mama is messed up, we don't kill her, do we? The book says thou shalt not kill, doesn't it? Okay? But you know what? The book says this also in the Old Covenant. Honor thy father and thy... This is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the earth. See? We still got to have respect for mama. And if we think that respect is our natural mother, we're right. But it's also our spiritual mama. See, she's got a purpose on the earth. There's a place for negativity, isn't there? We got to have both of them. Come on. And there was a war in the spirit realm in heaven, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, when you start finding all these things out, there's going to be a war. And it ain't going to be with people fighting you out here. If you're looking for people to fight you out here in front of you, you've missed the whole thing. Because the war goes right between the ears. The war is going on. When you realize all these different aspects of what the Spirit is trying to say, it's going to drive that carnal mind plumb crazy. It's going to make that mind just turn upside down. There's going to be a great earthquake come in there. Okay? And it says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels... They both fought. Now, who do you think Michael is? The word Michael, you know what it means? One who is like God. Now, who is like God? The Christ. The Christ. See? So guess what? Guess who's fighting? The Christ and his angels or his messengers? Can't lose, can you? Can't lose. And it said the dragon... which is our mind. It's in our mind. It's a natural man. I say it's our mind. There's what the war is between our natural thinking process and the spiritual process, which is the Christ within us. Okay? And they fought the word against. Fought against the dragon. The word against means in the midst. So where's the fight at? It's in the midst, right up here. See, it's not something going on out there. It's not somebody attacking you from outside. God uses those external things to stir you where? Internally. It's all internal, isn't it? The peace, where do you get peace?
Inside.
Where do you get turmoil?
Inside.
So God sends these external things to stir you up inside so He can bring peace. When He stirs it up and boils it out, now you can come to peace. But as long as that thing's hidden in your heart, guess what? It's going to take a while for you to come to peace. It's got to come out. There's no option about this thing. It's got to come out. And prevailed not. Boy, that's good news. See, the dragon cannot prevail, can he? Neither was their place found anymore in the spirit realm. I'm going to tell you what. There's no place anymore for this dragon in you. Now, we're not talking about all of humanity. We're talking about the sons. There's no place in the sons for this. Jesus said it another way. He looked off and said, "Here come the devil and he has no place in me." Hello. He knew that this thinking process has no place in the Son of God. This duality, there's no place for duality in the Son of God. It's just the mind of Christ. And the great dragon, that's his thinking process, was cast out, the old serpent, or the original serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole what? Everybody in the dust and the sand, come on, hello, what are they? They're deceived. They're in the world. Until we come to the heavenlies, to the star covenant, the Feast of Tabernacles, we're still sitting in the earth. Right? Paul said, you are seated in heavenly places. Correct? So, guess what? We can't be deceived, but everybody that sits in that lower realm, guess what they are? They're deceived. Does that mean they're bad people? No. It means they're deceived. And we were there too until God elevated us into the Spirit. Everybody was. We all started in the world, didn't we? When we come into this realm of flesh, we started in the world. And he was cast out into the earth. Notice the word, into the earth. What are you made out of?
Earth.
And his angels were cast out with him. So how did we get that? How did we get them problems? Who gave them to us? But you know what I see here? When Jesus was about to be crucified, he said something just before, I believe. He said, now is judgment come. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Huh. At his crucifixion, he no longer exists in me. You know why? Because I was on that cross just as much as he was. And you were on that cross just as much as he was. He said, when he died, you died. Right? When he was buried, you were buried. When he resurrected, you resurrected. Now, tell me where you're at. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not something's going to be. You already are. You were seated with him 2,000 years ago in heavenly places. The sons, the first fruit that were called before the foundation of the world. Whew, I wish you could hear me. Oh. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, what? Now is come not salvation, but deliverance and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser, or because the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused him before God day and night. Honey, you know what that was? That was the crucifixion right there. When he was crucified, when he died and said it's finished and gave up the ghost, right then and there the accuser was cast down. Has no more place in the sons of God. There is no place left for him. We're free. I don't have to listen to that stuff no more. We're free people. And then he goes on and explains how they overcame, they, the sons. They overcame him, okay, the accuser, through the blood of the Lamb. There's what made us ready. In Romans 5:5 said we're justified by His blood. That put us in right standing to where now God can go ahead and work with us, okay? And through the Word, right? The Word, and literally the word here is Logos, and that's Christ. Hello. by the blood of the Lamb and through the Christ, the Word, the Logos. Every time they talked about Jesus, the Son of God, or the Word of God, it's the word Logos. Logos is pronounced in the Greek. Logos. They are coming by the word of their testimony or the Christ of their testimony, and they love not their what? Literally souls. Their souls until death. See, I've got to not love my soul until it dies. I've got to not love myself in that realm of the natural man. See, I'm not talking about, we talked the other day about we have to learn to love ourselves so we can accept everybody else. But I'm not talking about that. Things, right, the things that you want to do in life, what your purposes and goals are, in life. That's all got to be put aside. And the most important thing is doing His will. It's not my will. Like Jesus said in the garden, it's not my will, it's your will. Yeah. It's logos, which is used to represent the Christ. Yeah.
You can have a testimony, but it doesn't have Christ in it.
What good is it? Don't mean nothing, does it? See? So if I have words, but it's not the Christ working it, what good? It doesn't mean anything. There is people that could preach the same words from the same scripture that I'm preaching this morning. I've heard people preach from, and there's no more life in it than in that carpet we're walking on. It's just they haven't got the Christ activated in their life yet. That's all it is. No power supply. See, they're getting it out of the carnal mind. They're just reading words and they're copying things from somebody else. They're hearing somebody say, oh, that sounds good, I'll use that. I don't get my message from anybody but the throne. If I can't go to the throne and get it, I got nothing to give you. I'm just giving you carnality, which is no more than death. I got to go to the throne room. That's why I have to go in seclusion at times just to hear what God's saying. I have to go sit down and listen. I would rather be doing other things a lot of times. See? But I have to yield to the Christ in me who has something to give me to give to you. I have to. It's not an option. Huh? We all have to submit to this. They said, now I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now. When is now?
Now.
Whenever the Christ is resurrected in you, that's when the now took place. Okay? Every individual in your life, when the Christ was birthed within you, the activation, the impregnation by the Spirit, when the Spirit came upon you and hovered over you, just like He did Mary, and the Christ was formed in a humanity, God formed the Christ in you the same way. The Spirit came upon you and impregnated you, and the life came into you by the Spirit of God, just the same as Mary was impregnated. And said, now is the deliverance and strength and the kingdom of our God. How did the kingdom get started? Because the Christ was birthed within you. Okay? And the power of His Christ, because the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Notice is present tense. Where's the accuser right now? He's been cast down. He has no place in the mind of the overcomer. Do you hear me? There is no place for the accuser in our lives. There is no place for him. We should not listen to any of the accusations that come against us. Why? Because he says we're holy, we're righteous, we're unblameable, we're not guilty before God, because he has placed us there. Nothing that we did. There is nothing that we've done in our lives that's made us holy or righteous. But he has placed us there as holy and righteous sons by his Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing to do with what we do. It's about what he has done. He has placed us. Which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, right? Or literally through this thing, rejoice. Right? The word rejoice literally means bring a good frame of mind. Therefore, you should have what? A good frame of mind. I should be at peace, should I not? Knowing that the accuser of the brethren is cast down. There is no place found for him in heaven. Hello, heaven. There's no place for him in you, is there? So what kind of a mind should you have now? You got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You got nothing to worry about. Who can bother you? Nobody but yourself. Oh, my. He said, have a good frame of mind, heaven. The word says ye shouldn't be there. And the word heaven is singular. It's not plural. So it's heaven. Aren't you heaven? God dwells in you. And you that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe, pain, grief, and suffering, right? To the permanent inhabitants of the earth. That's the dust and the sand. Okay? Because the devil, the accuser, is come down to you having great wrath or passion. Okay? He has a great passion about doing what he's doing. I used to say it this way. You know, the devil's more obedient than the church. God sends him to do something, he'd do it. He'd be gladly to wreak havoc into everything. And the church says, well, I don't know if I should or not. It might be the devil telling me to do that. The devils know what God says, and they do exactly what he tells them to do. And the church is the only ones that argue with him. I think that's ironic. Come on. We have to reason whether it's God or not, and we have a Bible written in front of us that tells us exactly what God wants out of us. Is come down unto you, and didn't it say he was cast from the heaven to the earth, into the earth? He was cast into us? I could go back into Deuteronomy, I could run off all over the place in this thing. The seven nations mightier than you. Because he knows that he has, the word but shouldn't be there, it should just, he knows he has a short time. You know what? When you come to the understanding, and this is what I've been preaching for the last year or so, identity, identity, identity. If you'll learn who you are, he has a short time. When you find out, I am the Son, guess what? His time is short. Because as soon as you grow up and then realize I am the Son, where's he gone? He's gone. He's cast down. He's cast down. You'll find out he's already cast down. But see, it's that process we were talking about, Larry. When you get to that, say, whoa, good Lord, what did I put up all that garbage for? I was free from the beginning and just didn't know it. Heard it said another way. 2,000 years ago, they sealed him up in a tomb, didn't they? 3 days later, how many days? They rolled the stone away. But you know what? Everybody's still sitting in that grave. We're free. We don't have to stay in there. The stones have been rolled away. We're free. We just got to get up and walk out of it. No different. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, the word saw is literally knew. He knew that he was cast into the earth. He persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. Now notice this. He didn't persecute the man-child. You know why? He got enough sense to stay away from him. He persecuted the church because he can't touch the man-child. When you learn who you are, he can't touch you. That's what I've been trying to tell you for over a year. He can't touch you. He'll only go persecute your soul, the woman. He'll go back to the church system. He'll touch the soulish realm of you. But he can't touch you because you know what? I ain't a living soul. I'm a spirit, and you are too. He can't touch me. God, I'm getting so...
Praise the Lord.
Oh, my. He can't touch you. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the male son or the man child. He can persecute my soul, but he can't persecute me. I was not created a living soul. I was created a spirit out of the Spirit of God. Amen. And I was placed into a body of flesh and became a living soul afterwards. I was created spirit. And he can't touch me. And they can call me arrogant all they want to, but they still can't touch me. They can't touch me. And they can't touch you when you come into the understanding of what he's doing. Help us, God. Verse 14. And the woman, and to the woman was given two wings. It means a divine protection. She was given a divine protection for her purpose, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. See, she went where she was supposed to go, where she is nourished for a time, a times and a half time, from the face or the presence of the serpent. God put her there for a reason. She took those divine movement from God. She was put exactly where she's supposed to be. Everybody wants to, when they first come out and understand that the woman is wrong, they want to go back and beat the woman up. It's exactly where God wants her. She's right where God wants her. She is a birthing chamber for the sons of God. I came out of that system, thank God. You've came out of that system, thank God. But don't worry about her. God will get her too, in her time. But she's protected from the face of the serpent. What is the face? Look at me. What's the face? It's an identity. Now, when you're looking at somebody, just looking at them, see, she was protected from the face or the identity of the serpent. So the woman couldn't identify with the serpent, or she was, but she didn't think she was. Okay? So she was kept protected by God from the identity of the serpent. Right? And that's the mind of humanity. And the serpent was cast out of his mouth, what? Water as a flood. You know what that is? That's worldly words. Thinkings that come out of the mind of humanity. And all these words, who do you think you are? How can you compare yourself to the Son of God? How can you be part of God? What are these words? They're worldly words. They're words of condemnation, of low self-esteem, are they not? So all this time, all the church can do is throw these accusations. Your mind will do nothing but throw accusations at you when you realize you're a son of God. That thing will say, no, 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 you're not a son of God. Do you remember what you did yesterday? Do you remember what you did last week? I ain't buying it. It's gone. Yesterday's gone. I'm living today, right now. And right now, it says in what verse was that? Verse 10, now is come deliverance. I'm delivered. I don't have to worry about it. But he cast out all these words as a flood after the woman, trying to destroy the woman. The church has been being tried to be destroyed from secular community all along. They don't believe in church, but they want to destroy the church. True? The law has tried every way in the world to destroy the church, and although the church is not the ultimate, which they think they are, but she's protected of God too. She's being used to bring about God's purpose, which is the Son. Okay? But he cast out of his mouth the words as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away, or literally overwhelmed by the flood. And you know, there's a lot of people that's overwhelmed by the flow of words out of the carnal mind, out of the serpent. They just listen to those words, that big flood of words, telling them how bad they are and how crazy they are, and they just get washed away in it. That's all that happens to them. They just get washed away. And you know what? God said it can't touch you. It can't touch you. You're a child of God. It can't touch you. And the earth helped the woman. The earth helped the woman, right? And the earth opened its mouth, not her mouth, its mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So even the earth, the first two realms of the church, when the carnal mind comes up and makes all these accusations and turns this flood on the woman, even in the first two realms of the church, in their Babylonian organizational ways of doing things, they still will stand up and protect the woman out of their carnality. See, God designed this whole thing. They can't hurt them. The earth is even going to stand up and help them. And the dragon was what? He was enraged with the woman. Why? Because he couldn't touch her. See, he's enraged with us because he can't touch us.
He's enraged with the woman because he can't touch her. So now I'm going to try to go get the what? The seed. The seed. The seed's in each one of us. And as soon as that seed is placed within you by the Holy Spirit, as soon as the Holy Spirit came upon you and impregnated you, now the battle comes. Why didn't they try to kill Moses? When he was a baby, just a few days old. Kill the baby quick. It was the seed, wasn't it? What about the rest of them? What about Jesus? Jesus was a baby. What did they try to do? Kill the seed! Kill the seed! Can't do it. Can't do it. Can they? God has a divine protection upon His seed. You have to realize you being that seed, you have a divine protection upon your life. Nothing can touch you. It can only minister to your soul. And when you realize you're not a soulish person, you're a spirit person, guess what? They can't touch you. Oh my God. They're going to tell you all kinds of crazy stuff about you, but they don't know who you are. You do. The dragon was wrought with the woman and went to make seed with, or literally in the midst. The word with is in the midst. In the midst of the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have what? The testimony literally is the word martyria, where we get our word martyr. And it means the evidence given. And I just want to ask you one question. Could you be proven guilty in a court of law of being a son of God? Can you? By God, I can. I will be. You can be found guilty in a court of law because I'm going to live the life He tells me to live. They can call me crazy, but I'm going to walk it. I don't care because I know they can't tell me. Yeah, I'm crazy this morning. Wait till next week. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If we could just ask ourselves that question. Could I be found guilty in a court of law? Could I prove that I'm a son of God? Yes, I can. You'll know the brethren for their love for one another. You know how they could prove you guilty? When they put you before that judge and they find you guilty and they put all them lies against you, you'll say this one thing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You'll say just like Stephen did. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. That's how they can prove you're the Son of God. Because no matter what they do to you, you're still going to be the Son of God. Don't believe the flood. Because see, all those accusations and the judges trying you is no more than the flood cast out of behind the woman from the dragon. Don't buy them. I'm done.